left off last week, we were discussing the degree of a relationship in terms of Hilchos Avelos. The basic model is the Psukim in Parshas Zemo, which speak about Tumas Kohanim, whether that model is an absolute model of the Araisa or not, whether it's a precise model, whether there's some exceptions to the rule that we spoke a little bit about last week. One thing is clear is that at least the Ikur Adin, Halachos of Avelos, are going to follow biological relationships. What if you have a situation where you have a child, not biologically one's child, one adopts a child? So would it be appropriate, or would it be required, to have a velos under those circumstances? So in terms of pure hilchos velos, the answer is clearly not. Just as, obviously, an adopted child wouldn't be permitted to be metame for his, quote-unquote, relatives, so too there wouldn't be the real halachas of avelus, not midrash and nor midrabbanan. Nevertheless, what if a person wants to volunteer avelus? So here the Ramah tells us that a person technically is permitted to volunteer avelus even for a stranger. A person is so distraught that somebody so close to him died, and they want to volunteer to sit shiva. So Meikra didn't want us allowed to do that. One is only allowed to volunteer to sit shiva l'chumr, not l'kula. Let's say, as we learned, some of the halachas of Shiva, some of the halachas of Avelos, of Aninas, end up being kulas. There's a person who's an onen, so he's potter from mitzvah, so the person, let's say, an aval yom rishon, is potter from putting on tefillin, or a person during Shiva doesn't learn Torah. So those kinds of things would not be appropriate to volunteer. The guy's going to volunteer to be an aval, not put on tefillin. That's not correct. The guy's going to volunteer to be an aval, not to learn Torah the week. That's also not right. But if a person wants to volunteer to do the nihugim, the chumras, the vichos Avelos, so technically speaking, one is permitted to do so. So based on this, the post can point out that if a person feels that they, perhaps appropriately so, wants to volunteer to observe Avelos for an adopted parent, so one would be permitted to do so. So it's not B'taras Chiyav, it's B'taras Rishus, one is permitted to do so. I remember when somebody asked me a shayla, it wasn't such a deep halachic shayla, just a bunch of common sense. There's someone who was quote-unquote sitting shiva, they weren't really biologically related. They were an adopted child. They were an older person already. Their parents had been, they had been adopted as a child. And they were the only person who was quote-unquote sitting shiva. And most of the people probably didn't know that this person was an adopted child. It wasn't really anybody's business. I mean, he was 50 years old. It didn't make the slightest bit of difference. So somebody wanted to know, when they come to be Menachem Oval, they were having minyanim in the shiva house, should they say tachar or not? Was the shayla? They said, because it's not really a base level, because the person who's sitting shiva is not really sitting shiva. So I said, listen, I said, you know, you have to embarrass the person, make a whole to do. All of a sudden, you can start clapping to say tach on the base level. Everyone's going to realize there's something fishy going on. I said, we don't say tach on for a lot less significant reasons. I said, well, just make believe it's a pace of shame, you know, make believe it's a little bomb or something. There's a lot of reasons that we don't say tach on. So I said, just to draw attention to somebody at this stage in life that he's not really a novel, I thought that was pretty insignificant in terms of missing tach on for that. Anyway, but al pi halacha, the din is that real yachas avail doesn't apply for adopted relatives, although one wants to do so, one is permitted to do so. Gemara Maseches Mekoton, the third parak, speaks about two different levels of relatives. It speaks about the immediate close relatives, the relatives of Parshas Emor, of Tumas Kohanim. Then the Gemara says that there's an added dimension of Avelus. It's called the Kola Mesabel Allah Mesabel Imo. A person's father is sitting shiva. A person's grandparent passed away. So the person's father is sitting shiva. So the Gemara says that just as the father is observing Avelus for his father, so too the grandchildren should observe Avelus as well. The Gemara is Pesachidish. Kola Mesabel Allah Mesabel Imo. Anyone who a person is Mesabel for them, it means they're such a close relatives that they would be misabel, they would be sitting shiva. If that person passed away, they should also observe Avelus together with those krovim. So the Gemara here says that din only applies b'fana, that only applies in the presence of the Avel himself. So let's say if you have Avram Yitzchak Yaakov, so let's say Avram dies, so Yitzchak is a sitting shiva. So if Yaakov happens to be sitting in Yitzchak's house right now, Yaakov should sit on the floor, he should take off his shoes, he should observe Avelus together with his father Yitzchak in deference to the fact that Yitzchak is sitting shiva, Yaakov should sit shiva as well. What kind of halacha is that? It's a strange halacha that the Marashach, if the grandfather is enough for a relative to obligate shiva, so then what's the difference whether the father is present or not? So comes the Ramban, other Rishonim, and explain clearly what the Gemara here is saying is that it's not that Yaakov has a real chiyuv to observe Avelus. Avram's grandfather is not one of his seven relatives. He's not metamei lemeis for him. The Chazal instituted that as a demonstration of kavod, as a demonstration of ima nechemitzar, as a demonstration of respect for those people who are sitting shiva, so we should tell Yaakov he should observe shiva, quote unquote shiva, together with Yitzchak in his presence, in Yitzchak's presence, as a demonstration of kavod to Yitzchak, to his father, who the one is sitting shiva. So that's the din in the Gemara called Misabel Allah, Misabel Imam. That anybody who you are, a person is close enough to be misabel for, so one, if that individual happens to be misabel, he's observing shiva for somebody else, one should observe the shiva along with him, albeit only for fun of. So that's what the Rishonim write, based on this idea of the Ramban, that this halacha of in a sense, wants to further away the fact that the grandchild has to observe shiva for the grandparent in the presence of the parent. So this, since it's only mitam kavod misablim, harai, it only applies befanav, it only applies in the presence of the Avil himself. Says that the Rishonim write that since it's only mitam kavod misablim, what if the misablim want to be meichel? What if, let's say, when Avram dies, so now Yitzchak is sitting shiva, and Yaakov wants to sit shiva together with Yitzchak. So Yitzchak says to Yaakov, don't do me any favors. You got Yishuv, you got a school. You don't have to bother to be misabel together with me. The Avil wants to be meichel on that kavod. So the Rishonim write that since the whole din is only mitam kavod misablim anyway, it's not a real din of shiva. Haraya, Yaakov doesn't observe shiva if Yitzchak's not around. So it's only mitam kavod misablim. So Avil shemachol kvedik vedemachol. The Avil wants to be meichel on his kavod. He has the right to do so. We'll talk about this hopefully later on. There was a machlekes aposkim. What if the mace himself wants to be meichel on Avelis? So before the person dies, he says, "Listen, do me a favor. Don't be misab. Don't sit shiva for me." So the machlekes aposkim, can a person do that? We assume halacha that he cannot do that. But so some poskim said he can. But here, everybody agrees he can be meichel because here it's not the mace being meichel. It's not mitam kovet a mace. It's mitam kovet a misablim. Mitam kovet a avelim. So since the avelim themselves are meichel, they have a right to do so. That's how we pass in halacha that this din in theory exists. But it's subject to the mechila of the misablim. So the Ramo writes that based on this, our custom has become not to observe this din b'zman hazeh. And the Ramo writes that b'zman hazeh, nobody wants the children to sitting shiva together with them for their grandparents. Everyone's moichel. You would rather have that the kids normal rather than sitting on the floor together with them. So it is built in mechila b'zman hazeh. So the Ramo writes that anyone who observes this din b'zman hazeh is einu element ha-matmihim. Means he's doing something which is strange, something which is bizarre. Nobody, for the last 1,000 years, nobody has followed this din. And the reason is because it was never really a din. It was only mitam kavod of the aveilim. Once the aveilim not meichel, and there's manazet, there's understood that there's mechila, so the male, the whole halacha doesn't apply. So if halacha lemaisa, this real halacha of the Gemara, that when Avram, the grandfather, dies, the fact that Yaakov was supposed to sit and join Yitzchak, the aveilos, for fun of, so practically speaking, this din doesn't apply. Is there anything left of this din b'zman hazeh? So the Ramo writes, he quotes an old custom, an old Ashkenazi custom, that even though we don't actually follow this din b'zman hazeh, we have a little bit of a remnant, a little bit of a shirayim of this din in the following sense. That there's a minug, and at least the Ramo records a minug in the Ashkenazi communities, that when a person's a close relative is sitting shiva, say the grandfather died, so now a parent is sitting shiva, so the grandchildren observe like a quasi avelus. They observe a mini form of avelus for a couple of days until Shabbos. They don't keep a whole shiva, but they refrain from doing certain things that avelim normally wouldn't do. So what are some of the things that they refrain from doing? So the Ramah writes they should refrain from washing themselves. They should refrain from changing their clothes. Things that are usually associated with chas avelus. So the minhag Yisrael, the minhag Ashkenazim became to refrain from these things. But again, we're not talking about the people themselves. The Avelim are mamash also to do these things. We're talking about the krovim of the Avelim. The grandchildren should refrain from these kinds of things for a couple of days until the first Shabbos of Shiva. So this is not a real din. This is a remnant. This is a transformation of the original din. The original din was that you have to mamash observe, first have to mamash observe Avelos as a kavod misablim. B'zman hazeh that doesn't apply because the Avelim themselves are meichel, but we have somewhat of a remnant of that in this new form of a minig that the Ramah is quoting from the earlier Chachmei Ashkenaz. So the question is, how much does this minig play out b'zman hazeh? So there's a machlekes acharonim about does this minig, which seems to be patterned after the original din of the Gemara, does this minhag somehow take on a life of itself, or is this minhag still pretty much part of the structure of the din of the Gemara? What does that mean? So Some Achronim write that this minhag is really a throwback to the days of the Gemara. It's a new form of what the Gemara was talking about, but it's also mishum kavod ha-misablim. It means the idea of why should a grandchild not take a shower for 2 days? What's he trying to accomplish? So the answer is, oh, it's covered. It's not the covered that the father's sitting shiva, so for the grandfather, so it's not right that the children should be acting business as usual. So the minhag became, oh, it's covered ha-aveilim, to refrain from certain activities. In Medina the Gemara, when the aveilim are really machbit, so that you have to refrain from everything. The guy's got a mama sit on the floor, take off his shoes, got a mama should be knowing aveilus. So that far we don't go, but we do a little token demonstrations of aveilus. But it's also, the minhag was only instituted mishum kavod ha-aveilim. Therefore, sabach ha-aveilim right, it only makes sense bifnei ha-aveilim. The same way in the days of the Gemara, the observance of Shiva by the grandchildren only makes sense when you're sitting in the presence of the parent. So too, this minhag of grandchildren observing a quasi-aveilus for a couple of days only makes sense when they're in front of the parents. Let's say the parents are sitting shiva in New York, and the grandchildren are living in California. So what are they accomplishing? So the grandchild's not going to change his shirt. So what's that going to do exactly? There's no demonstration of anything. So just as Bismana Gemara, when the Iker Adin of grandchildren observing aveilus really kicked in, it was only limited to Bifnei Ha'aveilim, so too this minhag of the Ramah only makes sense Bifnei Ha'aveilim. And other Achronim say, no, other Achronim say, it's our minhag, it's our new minhag. The new minhag isn't bound by the categories of the old din. It's our new minhag that grandchildren should observe a quasi availus for a couple of days till Shabbos, when they're available there, not there, etc. The question is, how much does this practically play out for this Zman Hazeh? So some of the examples that the Ramah gives, that the grandchildren shouldn't take showers, things like that, even though when we talk about these things in terms of the real availum, so even though it's true there's a real din that an Avos not allowed to take a shower, we are very lenient on this Bizman Hazeh. A person gets very sweaty, gets to smell it up. So Bizman Hazeh, people are very prone to become istinuses. The famous Mishnah, Maseches Brachos, in Sedenberg tells us that when Rabbi Gamliel's wife died, so he took a shower. So the Talmidim asked him, how can you take a shower? The din is that an awful knowledge to take a shower. So Rabbi Gamliel responded that he's an istinus. He's a very delicate, very sensitive person. And if he is not going to take a shower for a couple of days, he's going to be very, very uncomfortable. So the din is that a velus is supposed to create what we call a miyat tanugim. A person is not supposed to enjoy himself, not supposed to be get pleasure activities, but a person does have to be in pain because of aveilus. So if a person is going to be in physical pain because of observing the dinim of aveilus, then the dinim don't apply. So man is there, the post can point out, it depends on the person. Depends on the person, depends on how hot it is outside, depending on a lot of things. If the person is mamish so schwitzed up that he feels so miserable that he can't function anymore, then he's permitted to take a shower during aveilus. So we're not so machmer on regular aveilus in terms of shower. Then you have other things, but not changing clothing. So we assume that any time an oval is going to get sweated up, he wants to change his underwear, his undershirt, socks, things like that. That's what's called Big Day Zeya. So the Pesach Tshuva writes, we'll talk about this hopefully later on, Pesach Tshuva writes that even though an oval is not supposed to put on freshly cleaned, laundered stuff, Pesach Tshuva writes that only applies to clothing which doesn't get sweaty. But if you have clothing that gets so sweaty, the guy's going to sit in his dirty undershirt for the whole week, so he's going to get very, very uncomfortable. So the guy's going to get a rash. So that's not required to do so. That's also covered by the dinim of istinus. Pesach Tshuva quotes, we'll talk to later on, when the Shulchan Aruch speaks about not changing clothing during aveilus, not putting on freshly cleaned clothing, so the Pesach Tshuva writes that it's a double posher that you're allowed to change things like underwear and socks, which get sweaty, which touch the body directly. The Pesach Tshuva writes that the reason why nobody in Shulchan Aruch bothered to tell this to you, we talk rov pshitutso, we said. Anybody can figure this out on their own. It's so posher, it's so obvious that one is not obligated to suffer, to be physically uncomfortable to observe aveilus. It's this Pesach Tshuva that's the source for our custom during the 9 days also. And the 9 days also, where there are more rites of minhag, not to wear freshly laundered clothing. So the minhag is to try to put clothing on from beforehand if one's able to. So the Pesach Tshuva writes that, the Achronim write in the sugyas in the 9 days, that kula applies here as well. That one is permitted to change undershirts, one's permitted to change underwear, socks, things like that. During the 9 days, you don't have to put on your clean socks from before Rosh Chodesh, because changing socks, changing underwear, undershirts, those are things which are done not for enjoyment, not for pleasure, they're done just to avoid getting a rash, avoid from getting not feeling well. So those kinds of things were never included in the minhag of aveilus in the first place. That's what the poskim point out, that the minhagim in the 9 days are no more chomer than hilchos aveilus. Hilchos aveilus laundry is a real din. In the 9 days, Shavua Shechabo was a real din, but before Shavua Shechabo, it's only B'taris Minag. So all the halachas and the Minhagim that govern the 9 days are not going to be any more chomer than the halachas of Avelis itself. So whatever there is a situation of an istidus, it would be permissible. It's based on this that we had a cooler this past summer. We were in a unique situation. We were up in the north for most of the summer, and we didn't have our access to our clothing. When we originally ran up north, we thought we were going for a couple of days, but apparently Hamas had different plans, so we were there for a couple of weeks. So we pushed it. Most people didn't have access to their clothing. They had 3-4 days worth of clothing, so they constantly had to do laundry. So we had a problem. We were up there before Tisha B'Av. Nobody had 9 days worth of clothing there. So we have a Shechter Paskin that whoever needs underwear, dish, whatever the things that people need, they can mamash wash. So we had laundry. For the first time in history of NCS Wako, we had laundry pickup during the 9 days, because that was Bataris Istanis. Otherwise, it's impossible. The guy's not going to wear the same underwear for a week. So that's what the source for that kula is found in Uchas Avelus. The fact that we're very, very naked on these kinds of things. So the one can argue that when it comes to the real Avelim, we chisel away Bismanazet, we're very making on the showering, we're very making on the clothing, we're making on so many things. But now when we're talking about the grandchildren, so the grandchild comes in Esther Shaila, it's the Levi is on Monday. So it says in the Ramah, he shouldn't take a shower till Shabbos. You can tell the grandchild not to take the shower. You can tell the Yovel could take the shower. So you can tell the grandchild not to take the shower. So that's when people ask me the Shaila. So I usually say to them, yeah, you know, the minig exists. In theory, there's a minig in the Ramah that the grandchildren, you know, the extended relative should observe a quasi kind of an Avelos. But in terms of the absolute details, so it's case by case. It means if it means, let's say, I don't know, you know, one day to miss, I don't know, if it's not such a distance or something, okay, then one fulfills the minig of the Ramah. But to tell a grandchild not to shower for a week, tell a grandchild not to change his shirt for a week, those are things that we would be generally make a mikra din for the avelim themselves, then we don't have to be so machmer in this minug, which again, it's only a minug, it's not mikra din. The mikra din is that this whole halacha doesn't apply bizman hazeh, because the avelim amoichon, the whole takon of the chachamim, to have this quasi avelus for extended relatives, is only b'taras kav ha'avelim, which doesn't really apply bizman hazeh. That's also a question. How befunnav is befunnav? It means you're mamish in the house, it means in the city, it means you're I don't know, so not 100% clear. So up until now, we've been assuming that real relatives, direct relatives, biological relatives, of course, do observe avelus, either their eyes or their abana, depending on what we spoke about in the past. And the model for all of the avelus ultimately boils down to the case of Tumas Kohanim. And according to those Rishonim who say that Avelus is their ice, at least on the first day, and the model is a direct model from Hilchos Tumas Kohanim. According to those Rishonim, Toys in the Rosh, and the way we, the Ashkenazim, generally Paskin, the Rabban, the Shach Paskin, that Avelus is only mid the Rabbanon, even the first day is the Rabbanon, and then the model is not an absolute model, but called the Tikkun Rabbanon in the Raisa Tikkun. When the Chachamim instituted Hilchos Avelus, so they patterned the degree of relatives based on the halachas of Tumas Kohanim. So too, we always look to the Parsha Zemor, to Tumas Kohanim, to teach us who exactly one is Mesabel for, and who one is not Mesabel for. So in Masechet Sanhedrin, quotes a drasha on the Pasuk about Tumas Kohanim, that even if somebody is a relative, they're a biological, they're a halachic relative, but if the person who died is acting in an inappropriate fashion, has acted in an inappropriate fashion, then there is no din of Tumas Kohanim for such a person.
Who is the Lexus out there?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, dude. It's here.
Sure.
So the Gemara says in Masechet Sanhedrin that. Certain individuals, even though they're technically, halachically, physically, biologically related, but they're not acting appropriately. They're acting in a way that's not befitting. In their lifetime, they're acting in a way that was not befitting. And therefore, they're not considered to be ba'amah. The Torah says, in the Nefesh, ba'amah. It has to be someone who's ba'amah, someone who's acting appropriately. If somebody has been perish, ba'amah, someone who's not acting as part of Klal Yisrael, they're not subject anymore to the dinim of the hetter, so to speak, of Tumas Kohanim. Who exactly qualifies the person who's not ba'amah? You got to be pretty, pretty bad not to be called a chutz li'amah. So the Gemara said, Edrin starts to list off some people. So the Gemara uses phrases, perish b'dachei tzibur, somebody who separates themselves from the tzibur. So what exactly does that mean? We have to see. Well, the Gemara, the context of the sugya is, what if you have somebody who's chayim, he says, beis din. So
somebody did a terrible aveira, they machal Shabbos b'mezid with edim with hasra and the chayav is based in. So such a person is not considered to be ba'amav anymore, and they lose their rights to have the relatives to be metapa with them in terms of the relatives becoming metami for them. And therefore, the halacha carries over and says that so too these individuals were poshim b'terech etzibur, there would not be any avelus for them as well. We'll see as we go on who exactly really really qualifies l'maisa as manazef for these distinct categories of poshim b'terech etzibur. So, in the context of these individuals who qualify, whoever these people are, who qualifies the poshim b'terech etzibur. So, a person can be a poshim b'terech etzibur both in terms of uchus tumas kohanim and in terms of uchus avelus, and also in terms of hilchus aninus. The din is that, as we spoke about earlier, aninus applies to relatives. It's called misha meisa muta lefonav. So when a person has an obligation to take care of his relative, so then all the hilchus aninus kick in, and he's not permitted to do mitzvahs, and all the status of misha meisa muta lefonav apply. So the post can point out that that category doesn't apply to someone who's a parish b'dachit tzibur. But that does not mean to say that there's no mitzvah kvura on someone who's a parish b'dachit tzibur. That's clearly not the case. The actual source for the mitzvah kvura is from Chavim Mishas Beis Din. That's exactly the pasuk. The pasuk in Parshat Kisetze that speaks about the significance of burying somebody on that day. Kikovah tikbarena b'yamahu. And you have to bury the person on that day. That's talking about the person who was Chayev Mishas Beis Din. It's talking about the Makalel, the Magadev. With the opening of an Azara. So obviously there's a mitzvah kvura, even on someone who's a Rasha, there's a mitzvah kvura, even on someone who's a Parish B'dach Etzibur, someone who's Chayav Mishas Beis Din. But the post can point out that there are really two different parts of the mitzvah kvura. There's the Parish of Kvura, Parish of Kiseitze, which teaches us, Kikova Tikbarena B'yamahu. That's a mitzvah that applies to all of Klal Yisrael. If I know that there's a mace, well, I'm a chuyif to bury that mace. If, it doesn't matter who that mace is, whether that mace is a good person, a bad person, a Rasha, Chayav Mishas Beis Din, a Makadef, a Makalas, he's the worst of the worst. Doesn't matter who he is, a person is mechuyev to make sure every Jew receives a proper burial. That's one din. And then there's a second din, that a person is mechuyev to bury his relatives. That's a higher level of chiyuv. That's the parsha of Parsha Zebor, La Yitaba, that the Kohen is metami for his father, his mother, maybe his wife, his siblings, whatever. He's mechuyev to make sure that his relatives get buried. That's a different chiyuv. There are two different chiyuv. There's a chiyuv on all of Klal Yisrael to bury everybody, make sure there are no Jewish mason lying around not buried. Then there's a personal chiyuv, a family chiyuv, to bury specific people, namely specific relatives. The dinim of aninus, the fact that a person doesn't do mitzvahs, a person doesn't eat meat, doesn't drink wine, where do those yisurim emanate from? Do those yisurim emanate from the general chiyuv of kvura? So that's clearly not the case. They cannot emanate from the regular chiyuv of kvura. If so, you have a bizarre situation. Anytime there's any Jew who needs a burial, nobody does mitzvahs. That would be pretty silly. Obviously, that's not the case. Obviously, when we speak about the din of an einin, a misha meiso, mutal lefonav of not doing mitzvahs, not eating basa, not drinking yayin, obviously, all of those halachas only apply because the person has a family obligation. He has a personal obligation derived from Tumas Kohanim to bury his mace, mitami the mace. So that's what the post can point out, that when that chiyuv of Parshas Emor doesn't apply, for example, the person is a parish with a chitzibur. If the person who died is somebody who's got off the derech legamre, he's someone who's no longer part of the tzibur, for example, he's chayav mishas beis din, or he's some other kind of parish with a chitzibur, so then the parish of Emor doesn't apply. Therefore, Tumas Kohanim doesn't apply. And Hilchas Avelus doesn't apply. And what we call Hilchas Aninus doesn't apply either. It doesn't mean the person doesn't have to be buried. Even the Rosh Marusha, the worst of the worst, has to be buried. There's a Chiyav Deraisa to bury even the Ovid of Anazara. But that's not my personal Chiyav. That's a Chiyav in all of Klal Yisrael. And that Chiyav doesn't carry with it the din of Aninus. So who exactly falls under this category of a parish b'dach etzibur? So the Gemara starts to give some examples, but it doesn't give you all the rules. So some of the examples that the Gemara speaks about are someone who's chayav mishas beis din, and then the Gemara talks about ovdei avodah zarah, and then it talks in general terms about a parish b'dach etzibur. So who exactly falls under these categories? So the Rishonim are quick to point out, based on other sugyas in the Gemara, that there are different categories of people in halacha who are doing aveiros. Everybody does aveiros sometimes, so the person doesn't become a parish b'dach etzibur just like that. So the Gemara in other places in Masechta Zara distinguishes between someone who does aveiros l'hachis versus somebody who does aveiros l'teyavon. If a person does an aveira l'hachis, that means he has nothing to gain from this aveira. Gemara gives an example. There's kosher food in front of him and treifim food in front of him. Cost the same, taste the same. He says, oh, I'm not going to eat this kosher food. I'm going to eat the, I don't care. I'm going to shot. I couldn't kill. I'm going to eat the treifim food. That's called an aver lahachis. An aver l'teyavim means that the treifim food is better than the kosher food. Either it's cheaper or it tastes good, looks better. So the person has an incentive. He has a teyavim. He can't control his desires. That's called a teyavim. Let's say you have a person who's Michal Shabbos. So most of the time, a guy's Michal Shabbos l'teyavon. It means he's being Michal Shabbos because he wants to go to work, make some money, or he wants to drive somewhere for fun. Very rarely do you have someone who's Michal Shabbos l'hachis. It means, I really have nowhere to go. I have nothing to do. I'm going to get in my car and drive around the block just to show him, just to show the Rebbeinu Shalom. That's an aver l'hachis. So the Rishonim point out that if a person does averes l'hachis, so he ate him in a klal already there. So that's already considered to be so a parish b'dachet tzibi, such a out of the realm of being part of Klal Yisrael. You're going out of your way to do averus that you don't even have to do. You're going out of your way to do averus lahachis. So that's already yotzei min haklal. So such a person doesn't receive avelos and doesn't get to maskonim and doesn't get aninus. Such a person, you have to bury him. He could be the biggest rush in the world. You still have to bury him. But such a person does get all the rights and privileges of ilchus avelos and to maskonim, etc. If a person does a veris l'teyavo, so a person does a veris l'teyavo, he's not a parsh v'dachet zibur. He may not be the biggest tzaddik in the world, but he's not a parsh v'dachet zibur. So the Rosh is bottom of the kash. He says if this category is correct, that any time a person does an aver l'teyavo, so he doesn't necessarily lose his status as being part of the tzibur. So ask the Rosh, so what do we do with the Chayv Mises Beis then? The Gemara says Beferish. What are the examples of the people who doesn't get avelos, doesn't get to maskonim, doesn't get aninos, someone who's Chayv Mises Beis then? The guy's chaim is based in 9 out of 10 times. It's the teyavon. He had a teyavon to violate this aver, that aver. He wasn't doing it lahachis necessarily. So why do we call such a person the parshim dachetzibah? According to our categories, so a parshim dachetzibah is limited only to lahachis niks. So why should we call the teyavon to a person a parshim dachetzibah? So the Rosh says, you have to say that when a person is chaim is based in, that's a whole new level of disregard for the halacha. Let's not forget, in order to be chayav mitzvah beis din, it happens once every 70 years. It doesn't happen too often. That means that there were two edim who actually saw the guy and warned the person and told him that if you do such and such, you're going to be chayav mitzvah beis din. And what did the guy say? He responds. He says, I know it, and I couldn't kill it, and I'm going to do it anyway. He has to be makabel the hasra. So you have to have edim with hasra, with kabbalah hasra. And the guy still does the edim. The guy doesn't step back. The guy doesn't hold back. Even under such unique circumstances, says the Rosh, such a guy is like a lahachasnik almost. Even though his original motive was l'teyavon, but he's such so ingrained in the aver, so ingrained, he knows he's going to lose his life. He knows the edim told him they're going to take him to Bezin and kill him. And not only, not just does he ignore the edim. If he ignores the edim, doesn't say anything, that's not enough. He has to be makabel, he has to verbally accept the asura. And afal b'chein he does the avera, that shows there's such a degree of rishus here. Such a person is also like a parash v'dachit zibur. But short of that, so then the person is not a parash v'dachit zibur. Unless some of the Rishonim write, let's say the person does averes l'teyavon, but he's always doing averes l'teyavon. He's always eating McDonald's. Not that he fell in once or twice and he ate treif. But not that he fell in once or twice and he's Michal Shabbos. He's always Michal Shabbos, but it's always l'teyavon. He doesn't have any issues with the Rebbeinu Shalom. He's just not interested in doing the mitzvahs. So he's always l'teyavon and this and always l'teyavon and that. And always, so he's mamish a parsh v'dachit tzibur. So then many of the Rishonim write, there wouldn't be avelos for such a person. If a person is so off the derech, then there wouldn't be avelos for such a person. The question is, how does this play out, Bizman Hazeh?
How does somebody
just tie
an
office
with
Dias
before he gets it?
I don't know.
So, according to Rush's approach, so
Bizman
Hazeh,
there it is. Oh, we're going to get to the Bizman Hazeh. How this plays out, Bizman Hazeh. So, how should.
Yeah, but in historical with Rush, it was just black and white.
Right.
I have Mises based in.
Or
not.
Or if you have somebody who's a real hachas nikki person, or someone who's the whole life is doing a verzal teyavon, is so out of realm. Oh, we're gonna get to that's what we're gonna get to right now.
The Russians.
The days in Russia, there weren't too many tinochos shenishmas. Either you were from or you were out of the community. There weren't so many tinochos shenishmas in those days. So now the question becomes, what if you have people who are technically doing these Averis, either they're doing Averis, they're doing multiple Averis, their whole life is a Latiyavon, but the reason why they're doing is Tilcholam Bishkam, and they don't really know any better. So how would we treat such a person? So L'chora, we should plug in what we have already, the pre-existing category, we have based on the Rambam, when the Rambam quotes the Gemara Masechah Shabbos that talks about the category that's called the Tinuk Shenishpa. The original Tinuk Shenishpa that the Gemara was talking about was literally Tinuk Shenishpa. It was a Jewish baby that Nebuch was taken captive by the Goyim, raised as a Goy. He doesn't know anything. He comes back to us 20 years later. He's Michal Shabbos. He's an Ovid. We don't know. He doesn't know anything. So he's a Tinuk Shenishpa. So we say to Nebuch, we try to be mekarev him. We try to be nice to him. We don't hold him responsible for what he's doing because his pasha is totally not his fault. That's where the phrase Tinuk Shenishpa actually originated in the Gemara Masechah Shabbos. So the Rambam in the Hilchas Mamrim applies this principle of Tinuk Shenishpa to something a little bit closer to our scenario of Bizman Hazeh. The Rambam describes the different groups in Klal Yisrael who went off the derech. So the Rambam refers to the Tzdukim. Tzdukim, in the days of Ayashenis, he had a whole group of individuals who were the Parish Medachetzibah. They separated themselves, they came by the Romish Agassim, and they denied Torah Shabbat Peh, and they created new ways of observing mitzvahs. So the Tzdukim were considered to be Mamish, they themselves were Mamish, Parish Medachetzibah, they were Mamish Rishoyim. But the Rambam writes that their children, their grandchildren, generations later, what do you want from them? They don't know anything. Whatever their parents told them, that's what they told them. So the parents tell them that this is how you do mitzvahs, so this is how they do mitzvahs. They didn't know anything. So the Rambam writes that even though we're very strong on the original generations of Tzdukim, but the subsequent generations of Tzdukim, what do you want from them, says the Rambam? They're like Tinoko Shenishbu. The Rambam invokes that model, like a Tinok Shenishbu. So the Rambam writes, you have to try to be Makarev them, you have to try to be nice to them, you have to love them, you have to try to be, stretch your arm out, To try to be as open to them as possible, says the Rambam, because it's totally not their fault. Imam Shinoku Shanishba. So this Rambam is quoted lahalacha many times by the poskim in terms of our relationship with people bizman hazeh. Most people, 99.99% of the people today, who are not the Shematar mitzvahs, it's not pshat that they were, they're not even l'teovanit, they're nothing, they don't know anything, they don't know any better. So if you're a person who's already a third, fourth, fifth generation, people who are not from, so they're considered to be mamish and nukosh and nishba. So we treat them with an open arms, and we treat them in the same obvious role we treat anybody else. So that's clear, that's the way we assume, based on this Rambam, as man is there. So the Chora, based on this Rambam, we should plug this idea into Hilchos Avelus as well. We should say the same thing when it comes to Hilchos Avelus, that somebody who's technically a Parshu Medach Hatzibah, but they don't really know any better, so probably should be equated like a regular Jew, and we should be observed, a person should observe regular Avelus for them. Nevertheless, there is a sheet in the Rishon, the Machlekes Rabbi Natan and Ari, about this was unfortunately a real case in the Middle Ages, but sometimes you had a person who would leave the Jewish community, they would willingly leave the Jewish community, they go and get themselves baptized, and become joined another religion. So if somebody, Mamish, goes off to Derech, goes joins another religion, then they die. So the Mishnah writes, you don't observe available for them. The Mamish, they actively left their own will to Parish Medach Yitzibur. So the Mishnah discuss what's the status of their children. So what if you have a whole family went ahead and adopted Christianity, including the little children, and then one of the children dies. Now let's say there's a sibling who's still from or something, whatever. One of the parents still from, whatever it is, there's still a relative who's still from, and now they want to know. So it's one thing to tell them not to observe Avelus for the grown-up, for the adult, who went off the derech willingly. What about the person who went off the derech, who was taken off the derech? It's not literally a tinuk shenishpa. So there's a machlekes of Rishonim about this. So some of the Rishonim said that no, you don't observe avelus for such a person. The person is an avid of a zara. It doesn't matter why, what, where. The person joined another religion, so he's an avid of a zara. Finished. So the chora, that discussion is not really relevant for our discussion. That discussion was talking about not just the guy's not from. The guy is registered as another religion already. So we're sad, we're tragic, we feel terrible, we try to avert it, we try to help whatever we can. But so if a person is baptized, is considered to be mamish, I mean, not halachically part of the other religion, but from his vantage point, he's already part of another religion, even though we're not pointing fingers of accusation, we're not saying it was his fault, but so if he's already left the Jewish people, so then it wouldn't be available for such a person. That's a big jump to somebody who is, let's say, a regular non-from person today, so they haven't officially joined another religion. They're still technically Jewish, they're still, all people are technically Jewish, but they haven't officially joined another religion. kitchen, but they're not keeping Shabbos, not keeping kashrus. They don't know anything about any mitzvahs. So we assume as manazeh that that's still considered to be a tzidik shenishma. So that's what the minhag b'manazeh is that when non-from relatives pass away, people observe avelus for them, unless the person mamish went off the deep end. Mamish went and joined, converted to another religion. So then you have to discuss whether it's a that's a different story. But kolzman that the person hasn't mamish joined another religion, so then we assume as long as it's not his fault, which is most of the time that's the way it is b'manazeh. So there would be avelus.
There would be. He said that there's machlokes Rabbein and Tam. The
Rebbe was the other. The Rebbe, Tam, the Rebbe having a machlokes is about the children of the Ovdei Avodah Zarah, the child who was taken and raised as another religion. So some of the Rishonim said that's also called Tirak Shenishba, and some said Avodah Zarah is different. Avodah Zarah is a different side. So there are more paskas that Avodah Zarah is different. There can't be any rise from Avodah Zarah.
So we've all heard in generations past how when people went off the Derech, that families used to sit Shiva.
I mean, people who are mamish, who knew what they were supposed to be doing, they went up there. There wouldn't be shiva in those cases, right? It's hard to tell people that. People don't like to hear that. So a person's a lot of politician also. But me'ika mikra did. If a person who's mamish, he was from and he knows exactly what he's supposed to be doing, then he decides to totally leave everything behind. That's not much of tarish v'dachitzim. Unless you want to tie it that the person was chayza. Unless we hope that the person was chayza.
But even when the people intermarried,
yeah, that's the difference. There was a minhag in the Rishonim to sit shiva for someone who intermarries. Because if a person becomes an Ovid of a Zara, a person intermarries, so it was a minhag or a minhag Gershim, and a minhag to observe shiva, not when the person dies, to observe shiva when the person intermarries. Right, that's a different question. That's a different kind of avail. That's an avail for the person's neshama. That's not this discussion, right? That's a different story.
I find it interesting that the Ramaz time was so black and white in comparison to that.
Yeah, well, because the world was black and white. The non-Jewish world was also black and white. In the the secular world, everybody, you were, had to be religious. Everyone had to be religious, so you had to pick which religion you wanted. If you weren't Jewish, then there was no such thing as being a secular person. You had to either associate with the Jewish community or you were part of the church. So you had to choose. It wasn't, I'm not saying everybody was great at Shemitah or Mitzvahs, but at least in theory, everybody, you had to belong to somewhere, because the whole world, that's the way the world worked.
It's not so much practice, the same. So
people who are not so from that also.
If you feel Jewish, we would look at him.
Right, in the olden days. So if you weren't going to be part of the Jewish community, that means you had to become part of the community. There was no other place to go.
So that would be cooler for, Kol Yisrael, that people would just feel like, I feel Jewish.
Yeah, we assume as manazad that as long as the person is not yet mamish joined onto another religion, we assume that they're still considered to be, for these purposes of avelus, they're still not yet perfect. Okay.